Hello, good morning, and welcome to the finance show on tiptv.co.uk. It is Wednesday, the 19th of October. I believe it's the anniversary of some kind of financial mishap, but I'm not quite sure. Was it the crash on this
day? Bit of trouble in the market, 80s.
Well, luckily we've sorted all that out now because the government's intervened to prop up financial markets.
We'll never see a financial crisis again. Oh, no. Hang on a sec.
Right. Speaking of that, governments and financial crises, Paddy Power have started paying out on Hillary Clinton bets.
Yeah.
Assuming that means you can actually bet on her now and get paid, you know, paid out almost instantaneously.
Yeah. Well, I don't indulge in the old betting market myself, but I believe that is the case. And yeah, there've been a whole
slew of articles.
You're a
strategist at BGC Partners.
That's not the same as betting.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, we'll move swiftly.
Obviously, I gave you that impression for the last couple of years.
We'll move swiftly on to the slides of the day.
What did you do?
Right. Most popular in business and finance, Britain's Travis Perkins to close branches as it warns on 2016 profit. It's the biggest supplier of building materials and warned on full-year profit on Wednesday, blaming a poor performance in its plumbing and heating division, which will now be reviewed. And that's from the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Can it be that bad?
Well, the market has definitely changed. It's interesting to see people like Homebase and so forth. I mean, they're changing from the DIY market, which is massively slumped. And actually, the speculation, because DIY has largely been eroded because we've had a lot of cheap labour from countries such as Romania, et cetera, instead of me doing it and going off to,
Or me doing it for you.
Indeed, not that I'm sure that would never happen, but... You employ somebody and pay them relatively little, shall we say?
Minimum wage.
Yeah, possibly cash. I didn't say that. You're
digging yourself deeper today.
It's a bit too late, isn't it? Really. But the professional market seems to have been held up relatively well, and you're actually seeing some new entrants coming into the market. So for Travis Perkins to also be suffering is actually quite interesting. In the article, I think they mentioned they're closing down 30 sites. So it's quite a sizable retrenchment for that business.
So it could just be a change in behaviour. I mean, change in the public's behaviour. We're just not into DIY anymore.
Well, the sort of, should we say, amateur DIY, the personal DIY market, has definitely crashed. It's nowhere near where it was 10 years ago. Shows no real sign of coming back. It'd be interesting to see if we had to get this withdrawal of cheap labour from the construction market, DIY market, whether that has to come back because people find they can't afford to pay, should we say, indigenous UK construction workers anymore. But in the meantime, the professional market's held up relatively well. So it makes me wonder what Travis Perkins is doing wrong.
Mm. To me, it just sounds like they've got problems, sort of own goal, shooting themselves in the foot type activity there.
Yeah, perhaps.
But oil price rise on signs crude inventories likely fell last week. Crude oil futures pivoted higher in early Asian trade Wednesday on prospects that US crude inventories likely dipped last week, reinforcing views that the global glut is ebbing, albeit at a slower pace, and that's from Market Watch. On to US politics, what's been priced in. Credit Suisse global equity strategy, something I read every day if I can. Equities risks are largely priced in our view. I don't know how they could say that. It's asking for trouble, I would say.
The risks that they never saw in the first place and continue to be blind to.
Generally, equities overreact to political risk. I've seen in the case of Tiananmen Square, which I'd forgotten about, because we know we like the Chinese now, or Brexit. US equities have closely tracked Clinton's poll rating, but even a Trump victory with moderate protectionism may not be that negative for equities. I don't know how they can say that either, given potential tax, corporate tax cuts and fiscal reflation policies. Both a Trump or Clinton victory probably raises inflation's expectations and macro surprises with both positive for equities. And this is the most interesting of the lot. Other factors have supported the equity risk premium at 7.4% versus a warranted ERP of 5.4%, and earnings revisions are positive for the first time in 5 years. We stick to our S&P target of 2,300 mid-2017. Do you get any of this?
Just to preempt you, no.
What are they talking about here?
Equity risk premium. Well, it's usually on an ex post factor basis, so they're basically saying that... They're saying equities are cheap relative to pretty much everything else, specifically bonds, because they're looking at the excess return of equities over the so-called risk-free rate. But you could take the view that the risk-free rate, which is basically bond yields, are themselves manipulated by central banks et al.
I'm looking.
But entire books have been written on the equity risk.
I'm looking
premium.
For a nightmare with Trump losing, and actually I think probably worse, losing and having Clinton in there and him on the sidelines there moaning and complaining and throwing his
well it's interesting
out of the pram.
Well, it's interesting to say that the markets tracked basically Clinton's lead over Trump, but then saying that it's positive either candidate wins, and we know that barring the declaration of martial law ahead of the election, which has been suggested by certain parties, that one of those two will get elected.
I think we'll find out how many people in the US have got nothing to lose, are disenfranchised and generally upset. And obviously they don't have a voice in the media like Bruce Springsteen and other celebrities like that. So that's the issue. That'll be the silent voters, the Brexit voters, isn't it?
Springsteen has nothing to worry about because he's born in the USA, apparently.
And he's all blue collar as well. He's a blue collar multi-millionaire.
So he's hedged his bets. But I'm willing to bet, even if we don't have an upset this election, there are some very large tectonic forces in place sociopolitically. So if not this election, the question is which election?
Right. Okay.
Another 4 years to wait for that, thank God.
This is even more interesting from from the Investors Chronicle, Nicole Elliott, the trader there. A full-page ad in yesterday's Financial Times and a half-page ad in today's City AM shows a self-satisfied frog in a collar and tie sitting in front of La Défense, Paris's answer to Canary Wharf. It reads, frog in a collar, what is that? What's that? Is that politically correct or is that allowed?
Tie sitting... I don't know.
Anyway, it's
is it what we call French humour, perhaps?
It could be, yes.
Is
but
that an oxymoron?
Ironic, yes. But rather surprisingly, given that it is a frog in a collar, it's speaking in English. It says,
yes.
Welcome to one of the largest and liveliest business districts in the world. Fulfil your worldwide ambitions from the very heart of Europe. Unfortunately, they don't actually speak English there, do they?
I was contacted by a media outlet over the water yesterday to ask my comment about whether... a level of commitment to London for financial companies. And I said, well, I'm not talking for my own company at all. But I haven't heard any sort of definitive, very many definitive intentions from major city firms as whether they're going or staying or whatever. I think many of them are playing their cards very close to their chest. But it was interesting because they clearly wanted to put out a TV programme saying that support for the City of London is crumbling and they're all going to decamp to Paris.
Given how many continental voices I hear on my journeys around central London, I don't think that is actually...
I think it's very unlikely, but again, I think there are some major issues in the banks, being well publicised. Unfortunately, we're going to lose headcount no matter what happens.
Right. Let's move on to the next slide, if we can. Economic calendar, US housing starts, building permits, the Fed's Williams speaks in New Jersey, probably to Bruce Springsteen. Canada Bank of, they've got a Bank of Canada rate decision there and crude oil inventories. Sentiment, according to our clients, where I'm actually closing my eyes now as far as the gold is concerned. They're long up to the eyeballs of that. You've got support at 1250. What is going to happen there? You've got them... short up to the eyeballs of euro sterling, they've gone even more short after yesterday's decline there of a penny or so. I cannot believe that will play out in terms of a sell on euro sterling, but it will be interesting to see. Hopefully the crowd is correct.
One hopes so. The wisdom of crowds.
The wisdom of the crowds. It's a well-known phrase there.
Indeed.
And onto the Tip TV trade of the day. Bullish inverted hammer candle last week, repeated rebound from near 121 levels, and a bullish break in money flow index could yield a correction, which I suppose it has somewhat already. Buy around 122.36, the weekly pivot objective 123.88 to 125, stops below 121.40. We will find out whether yesterday's recovery was a one-day wonder or not pretty soon, I presume. Now we've got Investors Intelligence by Tarquin Co. Crude oil continues to tackle its June peak resistance across $50. That prior peak took a few weeks to form. Oil remains vulnerable here to a retreat back to $40. Not an opinion that I have myself, but we'll soon find out who is correct there. NASDAQ, also from Tarquin Co. And Investors Intelligence, the NASDAQ was the top performing index yesterday, rallying 0.9%. Trading is bouncing off the 50-day exponential moving average and heading to new all-time highs. The 14-day RSI is attractive as it turns up from beneath neutral. The relative ratio versus the S&P resumed its rally off the May-June bottom near 52 weeks. Near 52-week highs are imminent there. And finishing off with the broker recommendations, interesting that after many weeks of failure for the shares, they've spiked through their 200-day moving average, a bellwether, one of today's rises. It'll be interesting to see whether it can maintain that and add at Peel Hunt.
Well, the good numbers. Well, there were good numbers yesterday. I mean, the full year numbers were up 40%, up 38%. Dividend was up 40%. Strong order book. And the stock, quite bizarrely, is about running at about a 40% discount to the rest of the sector in the UK. So I can understand perhaps where Peel Hunt's coming from on that one.
Right. The other one of the big rises of the year to date has been YouGov, which I believe they do the sort of polling and things like that. I'm not quite sure
Generally a research company, but their data business is growing very, very strongly. Share price has done really well over the last couple of years, despite a few polling faux pas.
Oh, well, I wonder how much where the shares have been now for that actually got things rather more
well, presumably accurate. rather better. So yeah, it's well liked, but you know, quite a hefty valuation.
Right, and then to finish off, Zoopla, the online website where you can check how rich you are on a daily basis. The haves obviously rather than the have-nots on that one. Share price currently around £3.29. I've got a buy rating from Berenberg, who obviously are in the afterglow of their previous target being hit. So happy days for them.
Yeah, they had a strong capital markets day. Of course, it's not just about the property website. They've also have web properties such as uSwitch, which are doing rather well.
Mike Ingram, strategist of BGC Partners, thank you very much for opening the finance show here on Tip TV today. We'll be back after the break.